Good morning. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the d'Amico International Shipping Full Year 2016 Results Conference Call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Marco Fiori, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and welcome to our annual and Q4 results conference call. I think last time we spoke to each other was Q3, and we were complaining about a very tough market in Q3. We said that probably we're expecting things to improve. They did, not as fast as we expected. However, we had an end of December that was more positive, and we had also January that confirmed this trend. Going back to the full year, I think we had a loss of $12.8 million, of which part of it was for an impairment, and the operating loss was around $6 million. The good thing is that I think that our loss of $6 million in a challenging year, like was 2016, has been a good result. We had an EBITDA margin of 21%. We generated positive operating cash flow of $55 million, so they're all good numbers. Unfortunately, the year was very tough. We started very well in Q1 and Q2. Q3 was very destructive, and these are the numbers that we've been bringing back in for the whole year. On the $6.6 million was an impairment booked for three vessels, which they were under sales negotiation at the end of the year. So we had to take the number of an impairment in 2016, and we're going to realize in 2017 the profit generated by that transaction. We also announced in January the sale of two MRs, that they are also being sold. One has been already sold, one has been concluded, and the other one is going to be concluded in the next couple of weeks, which should generate $5 million of net cash effect. It was a sale and charter back for a four-year contract at attractive rates, so it was a good sale for us because it allows us also to keep some cash out of this sale. And in addition to the other sales disposition that we are preparing, we should be generating a total in excess of $15 million, so this should be our position. The spot, we had an average spot of $13,302 versus $18,814 in 2015. Positive quarter, first quarter and second quarter were decently positive. Q3 and part of Q4 were very negative, and as I told you before, was picking up in December 2016. Time charter coverage, 45.9 during the year, at an average of $15,989, almost $16,000 a day. This is part of our prudent chartering strategy, and also in a very difficult year, allowed us to limit the damages to the $6 million that we're seeing before of operating loss. $6.2, actually. Total TC equivalent, $14,334. That was the average of combining the spot with the TC book, with the time charter book, versus the same number in the same period of the year was for $17,159. Want to move to page four. Fleet profile, very similar. Nothing has changed here. 12 new buildings ordered since 2012. The order book is now remaining one MR. The last MR was delivered in January. Now we have six MRs that will be all delivered between 2017 and 2018. So we are finishing, we're getting to the end of our new building program, which I would like to remind you, like Carlos, our Chief CFO, will be telling us, has already been committed by banks over the financing of this new building program. Market overview on page six. As you have seen, a negative year. There couldn't be a different chart as in page six. The spot has been much lower than the TC rates, and there's no chance of TC rates pulling up especially the 1 year and the 3 years, which are the first ones to move up, unless the spot drags them up. So for the time being, the spot has been very negative. New building and second-hand values coming down for different reasons. Second-hand values coming down because there's no liquidity in the market, no possibility of financing of older ships, and then the one-year TC rate is not being supporting it. Why all of this? There was a huge build-up in refined product stocks during the end of 14 and 15 and 16. And now we're trying to have now a decrease in the stock, and this will be one of the reasons why we expect the market to improve. Now, there was also a lot of deliveries. 113 MRs delivered in 2016, between 76 and 79, I think, should be the ones to be delivered in 2017. And then on the last chart, I'll show you something that's kind of a very positive outlook on the fleet development. However, just to bring you back a little bit in perspective, why the market was this negative. You know, you have a lot of ships, low liquidity, a lot of stocks, a lot of things are moving in this direction. Okay. Page seven, on the market overview, what happened, what made it correct? As you can see, the refining margins have been, when you have refining margins go up, normally you have also there's more products being pushed out. But in this case also you can see there's a strong correlation between the product, doing the throughput of the product and the ton mile you see later on that's being generated. What started this whole market in 2015 was at the end of 14, there was a sharp decrease of the oil product, of the oil price, that brought an increase, a spread, a very large spread on a very large spread on refining margins, and that has been very conducive to refineries to just refine as much crude as they could and to push it out and be transported. On the other hand of the spectrum, all of this activity not supported by a big pickup in the economic activity of the world has been creating large stocks. And this has been one of the problems that we had, why last year has been so negative in last year. Page 8. Oil stocks moving in OECD countries, flattening out, probably going down, and industry product stocks in OECD going down. That's also a positive thing. It means that we are starting to burn a little bit of all the inventory that there was, and which could be the strong basis for a future pickup of the next cycle. Page 9, market corrected this year. Also, we can see how there's been a dramatic drop in refinery throughput, like we were saying before, followed by a dramatic drop in product feed boom. So, you know, this is a very correlated what refineries are producing and how much is being transported. Refineries has probably been coming down dramatically, and therefore also the seaborne demand has been coming down dramatically. You can ask which is the chicken or the egg, but I think that probably the leading factor has been the refinery throughput. Normally it's the refinery that leads the whole game. When you have lower refinery production of stocks of products, therefore there is lower needs for ships. So it's the refinery throughput that's leading the whole game. On page 10, just a short, you've seen it under another form in the past presentation, how these flows are developing in the market. You can see, for example, that the United States is exporting more and more, and at the same time, they're also importing other products. They're also increasing and importing other products, but this is a different mix of products. And you can see that especially in Europe. You can see that Europe is exporting more and more. The trend is up. And at the same time, it's also trend is very up also on the import. Different quantities, different products. This is part of the imbalances that get created. One of the positive things that you can see for sure is that China is exporting more. And you can see on the left side how it's moving up kind of fast, and at the same time you see also Latin America is starting to import also more. These are two positive drivers of the market. China exporting, so you see a big imports in China of crude and export of products, and Latin America has been, still been an importer of products, especially from Gulf of the United States, because there's not enough refining capacity. I think on the page 12, I think on the financial numbers, our CFO, Carlos Balestra, he can follow up on this.
Yes. Hello to everyone. So the, we start with the important new building program we have. We had 22 vessels on order at the start of this new building program. We had at the beginning of the year 7 to be delivered. 1 MR was delivered in January. There are 6 LRs still to be delivered. So the figures here represent the investments over the next 2 years for these vessels. $223 million, of which $57 million in our own equity and $166 million in bank debt, which is already committed to finance these vessels. Therefore, of the remaining investment, we have 74%, which will of the remaining investment, which will be financed with bank debt. This figure, relative to our last presentation as of 30th of September, is higher, you will notice. The main reason being, given the drop in values, we are assuming we're not going to be able to draw down the maximum loan amount on the on some of these vessels that are going to be delivered this year. Of course, if the market improves, then our overall investment will decrease because we will be able to draw down more under the bank loan facilities. Going on over to the our TC strategy, it is has always been to cover over the next 12 months between 40 and 60% of the fleet on time charter contracts, long-term time charter contracts of at least 12 months. Right now, the picture looks a bit more aggressive for 2017. We are only 32% covered. At current levels, we don't consider it attractive to fix the vessels on long-term charters. So we are exceptionally staying below what our usual target is of between 40 and 60%. Coverage falls further in 2018. The average rates are in 2017 of 15.7, which is slightly below the average rate achieved on our time charter contracts in 2016. But it rises to 16 and 100 in 2018. As usual, we can count on very good names for our time charter contracts with which are with the key oil majors and leading refining companies. Looking at the financial position, as could be expected, the ratio of the net financial position to the fleet market value rose between December 15 and December 16 from 53% to 70%. It's still at an acceptable level, but of course it, we would like it to be lower than that. The main reason it increased is because of the decrease in asset values. As we mentioned in the beginning of the presentation, five-year-old vessels, conventional MRs, prices since the beginning of 2016 decreased by 24%. We have seen that the decreases have been much more pronounced for the older vessels. The younger vessels in our fleet, values came down much less. But nevertheless, of course, the decrease in values did have an impact, as well as, of course, the big investment program, and we invested $150 million in 2016. On the positive side, as we mentioned before, two vessels have already been sold, two of our older vessels, generating $5 million in cash and $2 million in profit that we are going to book in 2017. And in addition, we have another three vessels which we started negotiating the sale of at the end of last year. And we have a number of interested parties on these vessels, and so we are pretty confident we will be selling them in not a very long time and generating, as was previously mentioned, at least $15 million in cash from the sale of these vessels. The operating cash generated in 2016, despite the weak markets in the end of the year, was still rather healthy at $55 million. And relative to 81 almost last year. Looking at the P&L results, in the year, our loss was of $12.8 million, but excluding the impairment on the assets held for sale, it was of only $6.2 million. EBITDA generated was of $55 million relative to $97 million last year. So all in all, it wasn't a brilliant result, but if we exclude the impairment, actually we didn't do that badly considering the very weak markets that we experienced in the last two quarters of the year. Looking at the performance of our vessels, focusing on the daily TCE rates, table on page 16, the evolution of the daily TCE spot rates from Q1 16 to Q4 16, and we see that it dropped from $18,000 a day to around $10,000 a day in the last two quarters of the year, for an average of 13.3. Our vessels on time charter achieved almost $16,000 a day for a blended average in the year of 14.5. And if you look at the figures, it's actually interesting to note that the loss, excluding the impairment of $6.2 million, corresponds to a loss of $300 per day, $340 per day, on all our vessels. So we were not that far from break-even, actually. I mean, with these very weak markets, we were not that far from break-even. The coverage for 2016 was almost 46%, in line with last year, as we mentioned, almost $16,000 a day, which was actually a better rate than we achieved in 2015 when we averaged 15.2. So once again, our strategy of using the long-term contracts to reduce our exposure, the variability of our results, helped us in this difficult market we experienced last year. Looking at the NAV evolution, once again, not surprisingly, it has decreased throughout 16. We were at almost $800 million in fleet market value and $370 million in net asset value in December 15. And we ended the year with a fleet market value, despite the important investment program, of $750 million. And the net financial position of 528, equating to a net asset value of $222 million. Our shares are trading at still at a significant discount to NAV, and that was at this end of December. Of course, now this discount is even bigger. It is important to note, however, that if we only have a correction in asset prices, and asset prices move up to the end of December 15 levels, our NAV would increase from $222 million to around $400 million. Given our market cap today is of around $100 million, that gives you an idea of the potential upside to the shares today and to how much value there is. I mean, today's values are absolutely depressed relative to what are the historical values. They are far below new building parity, and therefore there's for the investors that are patient and that stick with us, there's a double potential upside, one from the increase in the asset values and one from the potential reduction in the discount to NAV. We saw in December 13 our discount to NAV was only a 4%. So it is not unthinkable that in a strong market when we can generate a bit more enthusiasm for the sector, we can reduce this discount quite significantly. Marco, I pass it over to you.
Thank you, Carlos. So as we said before, in our business very much is dependent by the growth in, by the growth in oil demand and refining capacity. I think on page 19 we see some updated charts, the ones that we see continuously. Refining capacity is still growing until 2021. In the places where we like to see it growing in the Middle East, in Asia. So we see that in all these places we're creating big refineries, there'll be big export hubs. And we'll have to move products from there. On the right side, capacity additions, you can see that Europe, which is the OECD or others, is still decreasing in 2016. Then you don't see, some minor increase in the European and OECD others. But the big growth, you see it in Asia. Asia is still the big market that is growing, followed by the Middle East. So these are the good news about the whole picture. Asia and Middle East account for 75% of the planned refinery additions over the next 5 years. So we can see a big expansion of refining capacity in the places where we'd like to see them. On the other hand, this is the supply, look on the demand, what's happening from the ships, also supply of ships actually, let's say also supply of ships, we see the ton mile is expanding and the fleet growth is dramatically falling down. I think that we're looking ahead at one of the best situations we have seen in the last 15 to 20 years. Ships are getting no new orders and slowing down deliveries. You can see that turning down to very small trickle. You can see going backwards, there's never been such a good view on ship delivery as it is now. So this probably is the best thing that I can convey to you. The ship delivery picture seems to be finally under control, and as long as nobody continues to order, it will be fine. And as we speak, all 18 is all fully booked, so nobody can order any ships. So we're still talking for 2018. So 18 is completely closed. Probably we can still order something for 19. So the next 2 years we know quite well what's going to happen. And if we talk about the next 2 years, let's look at this year. This year on page 21, you see how the deliveries of the ships of this year, that should be, I think, 89, should be the ship that has to be delivered this year, how it's just slowly down, slowing down, dramatically going towards the end of the year. 27 have been delivered already, and 62 is the tail that has to be, is the tail that has still to be delivered. So you can see that already 27 on 89, we're talking already one third of the fleet has already been delivered in the first 2 months of the year. So this is a very good news. If you think in the past the market was able to absorb years with 200 ships a year, so this year and next year there should be very positive news. Finally, last but not least, the usual strength, nothing has changed. Young fleet, first class, first in-house technical management, very good technical management allows us to have very good contracts with the top players in the world. MR1, MR2, NLR, three very hot segments of the market. Especially the MR is really the workhorse of the business. Prudent commercial strategy, it's been proving itself a winning strategy, especially in years like 2016 where we had a good coverage, and that's been amortizing part of the swings. International reach, strong offices all over in the four main places of business, four countries, three continents, and especially we're present in places like London, New York, and Singapore, which are main shipping hubs. strong banking relationship, that goes without saying. We've always been able to have best conditions. We're considered one of the top players in the industry, and normally banks have been very supportive, not normally, they have always been very supportive in financing us in this, in our expansion and also in our day-to-day business. I think at this point, I hope we've left enough room for questions. I'm more or less finished, and with Carlos, I think we are both very happy if you have any questions for us.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Gabriele Berti of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for your presentation. I have one question. Can you give us more color about the recent announcement of a possible launch of a capital increase? For example, main reasons behind it, possible size, timing? Thank you.
Look, the only thing I can tell you is that we are not controlling what gets published. So what got published, I think all of you read it. But what I strongly suggest is we're not at liberty to talk about speculations. But I think if you continue following us, probably there's going to be more news about the subject.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a question on your, let's say, broad expectation as regards the evolution in the future of this spot rate that has created a lot of volatility on your profitability over the last 2 years, let's say, boom and bust situation, and also as a consequence on the fleet value and so on. So, just to put broad figures, in 2015 the spot rate was 18.8 dollars kilo dollars per day. So in 2016 13.3, so a huge drop. What kind of spot rate could we imagine going forward? Also in light of the fact that, as you show, there will be much less fleet addition going forward. So. But also, we know that if the market recovers, we could have more addition. So the situation now is that there should be a quite nice and fast rebalancing, but we also know that in this market, we have learned that if the rates rebalance, we could have more order, because I imagine that the shipyards going forward are quite empty, so there is room potentially. So what is your view on that? What is a normalized level for the spot rate that we can project in 2017 and 18? Thanks.
Look, I think your question is very good. Unfortunately, it's very difficult to give a good answer to a good question like you made. I can only tell you a few things. First of all, 2018 shipyards are kind of full. So, and in certain places of the world, also Japan, probably also 19 is partially full. And it's full of dry cargo ships, container ships, offshore, so all other segment ships, leaving less room for building tankers. The other good thing about the tankers is that we are operating in the clean products. So among shipyards that produce tankers, there's less and less shipyards that can produce clean product tankers. Mainly they are located in Korea, and there's some in Japan, and probably there's one good quality one in China. So the picture is kind of getting smaller and smaller going down and forward. What I can tell you is that for 18, you can see there's very few additions. 19, probably there is some room, but you know, we'll have to see what's going to happen. If things remain as they are for 18, I think the games are closed, so there should be a reduction in deliveries, and we should see a pickup in the spot rates. This is also in line with several market analysts that see that the half of 17 now it is the period of the low market, the lowest market of the cycle. And as you pointed out, it is a very cyclical industry. Last year we did 54 million of profit, and this year we're at minus 6. So I can make two comments over there. 54 minus 6, so we're still 48 million ahead. Comment number two is that this gives you a very high indication of how volatile is the market. If we have just back the same conditions of 18,000, this is a company which at this point is really very geared to take advantage of a rising market. I think we could have some very good results. Spot market, what I think it can be in the future? Look, I think the spot market, unless what happened in the Q3 and beginning of Q4 of this year, I think below 12,000 in average for 1 year, it is kind of rare in the product tanker on MRs, and the top market is the 25, 28. So, you know, you don't have the huge swings of the VLCCs, but it's still a market where, at this point, we're more on the lower range of the market and not the upper range.
Yeah, I would like to add to what Marco just said, that if you go to page 21 of the presentation, you see that on the last 6 months of the year, and there can be no question that there are going to be more than deliveries than those, because it wouldn't be impossible for the yard to build a vessel if ordered today, almost before the end of December. So what we have here, there's no question, is what we're going to see, and probably we're going to see less, because we have seen a lot of cancellations and slippage in the past, around 30% of the fleet. But even assuming we do receive the vessels which are programmed to be delivered in the last 6 months of the year, there are 28 deliveries in the program for the last 6 months of the year in the MR segment. We had 27 in the first 2 months of the year. So that gives you an idea of how much this fleet growth is going to slow down. And if we annualize that net of scrapping at minimum levels, which we have seen in the last 2 years of 1% annualized, that would equate to a 1.9% annualized fleet growth on the last 6 months of the year. Whilst the demand for this market is usually growing around 4.5%, compounded annual growth rate over the last 10 years. Last year it grew by 4.4%, although refinery throughput was very depressed. In a good year it can grow by more than 6%. So seasonality plays in our favor. Usually in the last quarter of the year there's an uptick, as we saw in also in 2016 in December. So we could really be going into a much better market in the second half of this year. And as Marco was pointing out, 2018 deliveries are even lower than 2017. They are half as much as 2017. And we have serious doubts as to whether vessels can still be ordered for delivery in 2018 because of the rationalization in yard production. There are many today, the production capacity is much lower than it was a few years ago. So we are quite positive on the supply side, and on the demand side, as Marco was mentioning, 2016 was an exceptional year because of the very large inventories. We're in the process of adjusting these imbalances. If you look at the last quarter of the year, inventories came down of refined product stocks already by 18 million barrels. So all the increase that we saw in refined product stocks in the first half of the year up to August has already been reabsorbed in the last 4 months of the year. We are back at end of 2015 levels in inventories. And if we see over the next 4 months the same decrease as we saw over the last four, we'll be back at end of 2014 levels, $1.4 billion in refined product stocks. So we really think that it shouldn't take too long for the market now to rebalance. As far as we know, stocks drawdown have continued in the first part of 2017, and then the supply side should really help us very much going forward.
Okay, thanks, helpful.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is from Matteo Bonizzoni of Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Sorry, given that there are no further questions, just an idea of the kind of rates that we should expect for Q1, what you have seen in January and February, just to have a flavor about the beginning of the year. Thanks.
January, I think we see some very strong rates. I think we should be well over the mid 10, 15, you know, over 15,000, well over 15. February, a bit lower, but still in good numbers. And I would like to add also something else to what Carlos was correctly pointing out before, that when you measure our fleet, what we are doing in our type of company, you should not benchmark with the whole fleet. If you look on page 20, the 5% of the current fleet is over 20%, over 20 years, and 13% is over 15 years. So that makes 18% is over 15 years. We are in the remaining 82%, because we try to keep a fleet below 15 years. The clients we have need to have less than 15 year ships. So we're looking at a shrinking fleet, shrinking deliveries, but also the smaller fleet than what you see all the product tankers, because we are in a segment of age which is very important to keep a lower age profile. As a matter of fact, our sailing list back is mostly concerning ships that are 10, 12, 13 years, and we bring them over the 15 years period of age. Going back to your question, January is above 15, well above 15, and February a little bit lower, but still a good month. So I think first quarter, unless there's some dramatic surprises in March, should be okay.
Okay. If I may, if I look at my model, your return on capital employed over the last year, so let's put in the perspective of an investor that has to give you money. I agree that we could have a trading buy opportunity with the stock so depressed and potential rebalancing of the market. But if I look at the return on capital employed, also in 2015, if I'm right, you generated a return on capital employed in the region that was a very good year of roughly 8%. And in 2016, we are down to low single digits. So let's say that it's also to consider if across the cycle your business can generate or not a return on capital that is in line with the cost of capital, because in that sense it's worth investing in it. Otherwise, it's a boom and bust business on which I agree we could have a rebalancing, but across the cycle, it's difficult to argue that it's a business that generates the cost of capital. What is your view on that?
Carlos, I think, can give you more of a technical question. I think that you should also look like years like 2012. The people who put more business money in our business did very well in those years. So I think more than boom and bust, I think is a business where you have some cycles. Now, either you hit the cycle right or you hit it wrong. Certainly there is periods in shipping when there are periods to buy, and there's also moments to sell. I think it's a very driven business by two factors, the cyclicality, and the second business is by the capital intensiveness. So that's why I think money put in the business, you should look at when is the upswing. Now, the question you should ask is another one. If people investing in certain periods of our history, have they come up good in the next year? I think the last capital increase has been a very good investment, and that proves that we have a good feeling of how the market develops. I think more than try to give a generalized return on the market, I think you should be looking at if we've been hitting the cycles right or wrong. I think this is the important thing to look at.
Okay, thanks.
Carlos?
Yeah, I think that it really, what Marco is saying is key. It's a cyclical business. I mean, we cannot take that away. So maybe your return on capital is not necessarily going to be extraordinary throughout the cycle, but it can be exceptionally high if you buy at the right time, at the bottom of the cycle. And we are now at in such a situation. We are at a situation where if you look at our market cap and you look at the profit potential of the company, you know, if we can generate 1 or 2 years of $50 million in profit, like we did, for example, in 2015, and you have an $100 million market cap, you have your market cap paid back in 2 years. So, I mean, it looks like a bit like a no-brainer to me in that sense. So there are cycles, so there are good times to get into the stock and there are good times to get out of the stock. Just as for us, there are good times to buy vessels and to sell vessels. So I think it is undoubtedly, given where we are, given where our share price is, given where we are in the cycle, a very interesting time to get into this.
I think that the question you should pose yourself, Matteo, and all of you with the analyst investors, is not the fact, you know, is this company a solid company? More or less, we have proven we're a 2-3 generation company, so we have proven that we can go through all these cycles. But especially what's important for your question, are these people good enough to manage the cycle, and when are they investing, are we coming ahead? So this is the call of quality that you have to make. Do you feel that we can master the cycle or we cannot master the cycle? When we go in, expand the fleet, is that the right moment to follow those guys? These are the questions you should be posing yourself. I think we have pretty good experience, and we've been proving so far so good. But then this is your call, you know. It's not my responsibility on this.
Okay, thanks.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Fiori and Mr. Balestra, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Well, thank you very much, and let's keep in touch. Probably be talking with some of you guys in the next days, and let's see what's going to happen, okay? Thank you, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.